Could I ask you a favor? Would you all please stand for a moment, please? Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Wayne, would you come up here a minute, please? Well, I chose him because he's in an outside. Okay, you can turn around and go back to your seat now. No, go ahead. Go back to your seat. Now, what did I just do?
That was training on obedience.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
The title of my message this morning is There's Power in the Spoken Word.
Oh, amen.
I just got you all to rise. I got Wayne to walk up here just by my spoken word. That's all I need to say. I'm done now. I made my point. I'm not doing the opening scripture. I'm opening scriptures. I'm a scripture person. And hopefully this all works. I got a long list. And I just demonstrated to you how powerful the word is. I was able to move you with people. How about that?
Amen.
Now, I got so many scriptures, don't even try to look up in your eye. Genesis chapter 1 is loaded with these three phrases. God said, let there be, and it was so. And can you start getting up there, starting with Deuteronomy, Aaron, on the screen? That's Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay. I want him to put them on the screen so you can read them, and I'm going to read them here, but I don't want to have to read the numbers. A man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. You can also find that same verse in Matthew 4:4, but I didn't put it up there. Is Isaiah 55:11. My word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The whole point of this is a spoken word and the power in it. I'm going to let the word speak for itself. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living, and it's powerful. It's a sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. When you start pondering these scriptures, it's awesome. I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Next one is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I wrote down, do you want to eat the fruit of death, or do you want to eat the fruit of life? The spoken word is a powerful force. Our words build up or they tear down. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We live by every word from God's mouth. God's word accomplishes his desire and achieves his purposes. And our words will acquit us or they will condemn us. Our salvation is actually activated by the confession of our mouth in Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And while I'm thinking of it, you can always go, because this is being recorded, and look it up on the church. But if you want a printed out copy of this, tell me and I'll print some up and bring some next week. Because I use these myself. I go back every once in a while. And this is all about, I'm speaking this because I'm living it. There is power in prayer when it becomes a spoken word. To simply think it is not sufficient. To simply think it is not sufficient. Because power is in the actual spoken word. The next scripture is Proverbs 10:19. 10:19, yes. Wait a minute. Is it 10:9? Did I?
I've got 10:9. If you've got 10:19, I
got to change it. Let me look. I guess it's 19 because it's in the multiple of words it starts with. In the multitude of words, his sin is not lacking. Every time I read that, I think of politicians. They never answer a yes or a no.
That's right.
They just go talking circles. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. And the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. That was all part of 10:19. It doesn't matter now. Next one's Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I take it you didn't use what I couldn't, huh? Okay. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver. And the next three of them are going to be Psalm 119, verse 11, 119, verse 5, and 119, verse 33. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Psalm 119:133 is a prayer I pray often. Direct my steps by your word, Lord, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. God's principle and way is to call things that are not as though they were. Your mind and intellect will fight you every step of the way. Start confessing who you are in Christ and speak it, believe it, talk it, and think it. Amen. Live what you know. Live by what you know and not by how or what you feel. And then there's Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life to the death. And above all else, exchange your I can't attitude. I'm preaching to myself on this one. Change your I can't attitude for I can attitude. And watch what God does. because our words affect our future. I'm going to pause right there for a moment to say something that I just experienced this week. I put on the internet, for those of you who got Facebook and everything, I put my yellow Jesus bike on up for sale all over the place. And then I have a trike and trailer that I put up for sale on Facebook Marketplace and a couple other places. I posted that, I think, on Wednesday. And then I had a boat sitting in my backyard covered for 23 years. I'd finally decided I'm probably not going to use it, so I put it up for sale. I believe that was Wednesday. Now, I should back up. I've been practicing to speak it out, so I spoke it out. Thursday, somebody come and said, I'll buy the boat. Thursday, somebody called and said, I'll buy the trike. Yesterday, he came and picked up the boat and paid cash. Tomorrow morning, I'm on the way in my trike and my trailing my trike into New York State and delivering it. I got the cash waiting for me there. I'm blown away at how quickly God answered those. Now, the only one I got left, Lord, I'm probably going to pace in front of the microwave, but it's that Jesus bike. But I know God's got somebody there for it. Amen. I'm going to say something now that, and you know, probably preachers don't even preach on it, but it's something that's troubled me for years and not many people talk about it. Don't think for one moment that innuendos masked by humor are harmless. Innuendos equal insinuation. Insinuations. Forget that insin part of it. Aspersions equal slur. Indirect reference or implications, though masked by joking, kidding, or teasing, are hurtful and they are wrong. They are always done at someone else's expense. And they bring deadly wounds to that person. Just because you smile and laugh while speaking innuendos and casting verbal aspersions, that does not take the sin out of your insinuation. That's my word, and I'm sticking to that one. I see it a lot, especially in even in the truck driving world where I go, constant. And some more God's word in Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. And that's in reference, Easter scriptures in reference to what I just said. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and then says, well, I was only joking. Kenny reminded me this morning not to go too fast on it. In Proverbs 26:22, in the Amplified Bible, in a classic edition, the words of a whisperer or slanderer are like dainty morsels or words of sport. To some, but to others, they are like deadly wounds, and they go down deep into the innermost parts of the body, or of the victim's nature. I wish that message would get out more often. Even amongst Christians, I'm probably guilty myself sometimes. My point is that words come from your mouth carry far more weight, far more power, and far more effect than any of us may realize. Another one. Here I go, stepping on toes. I often hear people say this, my cancer, my cough, my cold, my sickness, my disease, my allergies, my pain, my headache, my. Really? Who gave it to you? Why are you claiming it as yours? Where in the Bible did God say sickness, pain, disease, and allergies belong to you? It's true, you may have any one of those symptoms, but it does not belong to you. Unless, of course, you are claiming it as yours. If you are a born-again Christian, here is what belongs to you. Have faith in God, Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What you say is what you get. Believe and receive, or confess and possess. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Often Christians develop a negative pattern of speech without even knowing what they're saying. Should I bring that one up, Ken? Everybody, all religions, faith, politics, I'm not exaggerating. Listen to yourself talk and listen to others. You know. Think about that. It fascinates me. It's nothing wrong in it, I suppose, but I'm amazed that everybody does it in their conversation every few minutes. You know. That's not in Scripture, though, but it just... But it makes me wonder, what makes us do stuff automatically like that? Like a priest? I don't know. Back to it. Often Christians develop a negative pattern of speech without even knowing it, constantly using phrases like, I can't, or I'm afraid. In my case, I'm guilty. When God's word says, I can, and fear not. When using words that are out of harmony with God's word, you are disagreeing with God. And in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? We can never walk with God in blessings, triumph, and abundant supply as long as we disagree with God's word. So here's the secret. Agree with God. Say what God says about life. Say what God said about health, finances, strength, anointing, power, and all the blessings God has promised us in his word. That's why I like to use so many scriptures. It is true that if you believe what you are saying, what you say is what you will get. Because there's power in God's word. If you say, I can't pay my bills, for instance, you ain't going to be able to pay your bills. Even though God says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if you change your negative way of speaking and thinking based on God's promises to supply, you will receive the finances that you need. But I will give you a word of warning. Don't ever say anything that you wouldn't want to get. As one of God's children, we have the right to function according to his supernatural laws. God's supernatural laws transcend God's natural laws. In a way known only to God, God's children need only to speak and believe, and the thing which we have spoken will come to pass. What great promises these are. We don't need to know how it works. We don't need to know how lift transcends gravity in order to ride in an airplane. And you don't need to know how things you say and believe are going to happen. It's enough that we know they will happen. Silence is golden. People say silence is golden. It's true in some cases. However, silence can be expensive when it comes to some spiritual issues. Silence has cost many a person to lose the thing they wanted most from God. I'm going to give you an example. And this is a true story. A woman who was sick got prayed over and was instantly healed. Not long after, she called her pastor and said, I'm so disturbed. My symptoms are back just as bad as ever. The pastor said, "When your husband came home last night, did you tell him you were healed?" And the woman answered, "No. You see, I wasn't sure yet. I didn't want to say anything to my husband until I was positive." Again, the pastor said, "But you had no pain. Was there any soreness?" And the woman said, "Oh, no, that was all that all left. But you see, I have to be careful. My husband's a skeptic, and I don't want to tell him until I was sure." This woman lost the fight because of her doubt of the word. Had she dared to stand her ground on the word of God and held fast to her confession that she was healed, she would have reaped a positive result instead of a negative result. God's promises in Jeremiah 1:12 say, "I will hasten my word to perform it." What you confess, you possess. If it's a negative confusion, the result will be negative. If it's a positive confession, the result will be Godward. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it for worldly goods or selfish wants. Many people spoil their own confession by wavering between the positive yes and the faltering no. James 1:6-7, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God if we waver." When your heart gives a ringing positive yes to the word, positive results will begin to occur in your life. I'm almost done. Did you know that can't is a four-letter word? I'm going to show you another true story. I don't remember where I got this, but it was a true story. A woman told her pastor, "I've had asthma for many years, but I can't be healed of it. I've been prayed for many times by many people, but I just can't get healed. At times, I can't even get out of bed. Some afternoons, my asthma acts up so bad, I simply can't do anything. At the office, many days, I can't even finish my day's work. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've searched my heart. Why can't I receive healing?" What she said is what she got. When she said, "I just can't get healed," she couldn't get healed. After the pastor explained that to her, she started saying, "I can be made completely whole through Christ Jesus, who is my strength and my healer, and by Jesus' stripes I'm healed." And when she started saying that, she got healed. It was not an instant recovery, but the point is she didn't get healed. So what you say is what you get, not because your words themselves have power, but because your own words make it possible for God's power to work on your behalf. Amen. And my closing scripture, another prayer, Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And if my memory serves me correctly, Tony. Tony. You're on, Tony.
It's a song called Offerings, and it's just, I wrote it last Sunday morning, and I woke up and just thinking about how good God is and how, you know, we don't seek the gifts from him, but we love the giver, and he just gives us and blesses us with so much, you know. And I don't know, it's just one of my, I feel like this is a very heartfelt song for me, and I'm very spontaneous with things, as most of you know by now. Sometimes I get up here and songs will just like come out and not rehearsed or whatever. It's just something the Lord just really... Anyway, this is just more of a thank you song, you know. It's called Offerings. Mm-hmm.
We bring our offerings today, woe to you. And all that you do, and all who you are, we just say we love you and you're wonderful. We seek the giver, oh, not the gifts. But you give us those gifts anyway, oh, 'cause you love us. Never once have you left me alone. Oh no, you never leave me. You never leave us alone.